Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the CS Podcast presented by the NFL Draft Bible and NUCSports.com. Be sure to check out this podcast as well as all the other work that's published there each and every day at NUCSports.com. Once again, I'm your guys' host, Chris Schanefeldt, and on today's show, we'll be focusing on the Baltimore Ravens. Last season, this team went 10-6 and fell to the New England Patriots in a nail-biter in the divisional round of the playoffs. There was a lot of bright spots to this team last year, though. I mean, you had the emergence of running back Justin Forsett, who was a journeyman, really just a return specialist his entire career up until last season, where he ran for over 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns. Of course, they needed somebody to step up at that running back position after cutting Ray Rice, and the Ravens seem to think Forsett is that guy as they re-signed the 29-year-old running back to a 3-year deal this offseason. Well-deserved. I'll be joined by Teron Davenport, who covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Times. We'll talk about exactly how different this offense might look under offensive coordinator Mark Trestman. Should we expect more or less out of Forsett? Can he keep that production coming, or will he turn out to be a one-hit wonder? We'll also get Teron's thoughts on the Ravens' 2015 draft class. Did they reach for wide receiver Breshad Perriman by taking him 26 overall in the first round? We'll also get his thoughts on some of the other rookies who may be turning some heads in OTAs. I'll also be joined by Baltimore Ravens second-year wide receiver Jeremy Butler. This is the guy that I was able to interview as he was getting ready for the 2014 NFL draft last year out of the University of Tennessee, Martin. Sounds as if the coaching staff has really been liking what they've been seeing out of him so far. Unfortunately, after making some noise in training camp and preseason last year, Butler was placed on season-ending IR with a shoulder injury, but he's back to 100% now and is certainly looking to have an impact on this team in 2015. Anyways, before we get to these interviews, be sure to follow me on Twitter at Chris Schanefeldt, and be sure to check out this podcast as well as some of my other work at NUCSports.com, YouTube.com/ChristianRE722, and ChristianSchanefeldt.wordpress.com. Now, here's my interview with Teron Davenport of the Baltimore Times. You guys are listening to the CS Podcast presented by the NFL Draft Bible and NUCSports.com. I'm your host, Chris Schanefeldt, and I'm now joined by Teron Davenport. He covers the Baltimore Ravens for the Baltimore Times. He's also an NFL Draft Analyst for FootballGamePlan.com. Teron, thanks for taking some time today. Looking at the Ravens last season, they went 10-6 and fell short to the New England Patriots in a nail-biter 35-31 in the divisional round of the playoffs. And after going out and saying that he had no interest in taking a head coaching gig, the Denver Broncos job opened up, and offensive coordinator Gary Kubiak went on to take it, saying that it was his dream job. Now former Bears head coach Mark Trestman, who in the past has been known as the quarterback whisperer and the offensive guru, he's now the team's new offensive coordinator. How different should we expect this offense to look under Mark Trestman this year?
Well, Chris, the offense isn't going to look that much different. Trestman has made numerous attempts to make it vocal about how he's going to keep the system very similar. They're going to pass a little bit more. That's something that will definitely happen. You'll see some more throws to the backs out of the backfield. As you know, Matt Forte last year, he had 100 catches with the Bears and in Trestman's offense. So you'll see more passes to Justin Forsett. Buck Allen, I think, is a really great pick, and I think he's going to help out also. Always some terminology differences, but for the most part, that offense is going to be pretty much the same.
Okay, and I know that Joe Flacco and Steve Smith, they recently weighed in on the offense and said that, you know, it's a little different, but it's not like they're starting over. And speaking of Steve Smith, last year was his first not being a Carolina Panther, and he reeled in 79 receptions for over 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns for the Baltimore Ravens last year. He's entering his 15th season in the NFL. I mean, is he showing any signs that this may be his last season? I mean, how much more do you think he has left in the tank?
Physically, he has plenty left in the tank. Mentally, I don't think that he has much left in the tank. He's one of those guys that really places an importance on family. He spoke about that last week, just saying that, you know, he has no interest in playing until he's 40, like Jerry Rice. And he has a lot of things off the field that he has going. The Steve Smith Family Foundation. And just his son, both of his sons, actually, Deuce and his other son. I forget his other son's name, but, he's really devoted to being an excellent father to them. And I would say this year, maybe next year, will be his last. He has a 3-year deal. He's in the second year of it. So I would give him 2 more years max.
Okay, and now looking at the Ravens, it doesn't look like they did too much in free agency. I know that they lost Torrey Smith to the Niners. They lost Owen Daniels to the Broncos. They did recently sign defensive back Kyle Arrington, formerly of the New England Patriots, and they were able to re-sign running back Justin Forsett, who I for sure thought was going elsewhere. Of course, Forsett had a career year last year, running for over 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns. He was voted to the Pro Bowl. And now bringing in this Mark Trestman offense, it looks as if he'll be using their running backs more out of the backfield, for the passing game. Should Ravens fans expect the same type of production out of him this season, or no, he's just a one-hit wonder?
I think Forsett is going to give you even more production, to be honest with you. That offensive line is fully back intact. I mean, you have the best guard tandem in the NFL on Kelce Assembly and Marshall Johnson. You got Rick Wagner will be back at right tackle. Obviously, Eugene Monroe as well, and Jeremy Zuta. So everything is back in order for that offensive line. So, there's no reason to expect any fall off. Justin Forsett last year led the league in rushes of over 20 yards, your explosive run. The guy didn't do it all on his own, but he did a good amount of it on his own. And when he gets to that second level in that zone blocking scheme, he's able to make somebody miss or show the acceleration to run by DB. So I think that everything is going to be good for Justin Forsett. You might see a slight reduction in carries because I know they really like Buck Allen so far. And obviously, Taliaferro is coming back, the guy they drafted last year from Coastal Carolina. So I think they'll be in good shape. You'll see a little more receptions. Count on that from Justin Forsett. That's one thing you can count on for sure. Forsett said that he's getting ready to have, a pretty good year on the receiving side of things. And even in watching them at OTAs and minicamp, which I'm on my way to now, he's been catching the ball a lot more out of the backfield.
Okay, sounds good. So now looking at some of the young talent this team has added through the draft, Teron, I mean, they took wide receiver Breshad Perriman with the 26th overall pick in the first round. This is a guy that I think some draft experts had going in the second or third round, maybe even in the fourth round, until he ran that 4.26 40 at the UCF Pro Day. Now the Ravens front office, obviously they have a great reputation when it comes to drafting talent. And after losing Torrey Smith in free agency, it was a position that they had to focus on at some point. But do you believe that they may have reached for Perriman by taking him in the first round?
I think it was a subtle reach. But the thing that's so interesting, and when I was watching Perriman last year as I was preparing for this whole draft process, and one of the first things I said to myself was, wow, this guy really resembles, he looks like Torrey. And if you watch him, they're very similar in their movement, the way they run their routes. They both came into the league with some questions about their hands. I think they read slightly, but, they're at a point where they don't have to force Perriman to start right away. They have some younger guys who are ready to step up, and Kamar Aiken, Jeremy Butler, those are guys that have been productive in OTAs and just overall all year last year, Butler in training camp. So Perriman is a good selection at 26. I really have him as a second-round prospect, but it's one of those things we have to look at and how – player's ability matches the team's need, and the Ravens need a deep threat. Torrey Smith was their only guy that would cause defenses to back up. He was the only guy that would cause defenses to use bracket covers over top. They lost him. They had to replace him with another guy. So you get a guy who has similar speed and similar ability to stretch the field from the outside. At 26, that's a pick that I think they could hit on in the future.
Once again, Baltimore Ravens reporter for the Baltimore Times, Teron Davenport, joining the CS podcast presented by the NFL Draft Bible and NUCSports.com. Teron, it's funny that you mentioned Jeremy Butler. I'll actually be having Jeremy Butler on the same podcast. I'll be talking to him very soon. I know that he's a guy that you're familiar with. Like you said, he spent his entire rookie year on IR after opening some eyes in minicamp, training camp, and preseason last year. I know it's hard to say, but right now, as minicamp is just beginning to start, do you think he'll have a role with this team this season?
JB will be on that roster, and I really do think he will have a role. He's a guy that Flacco really trusts. I mean, the practices that I've seen, Flacco has gone to him a lot of times. He's working with the second and third team. They use a few free receiver sets, and he'll come in that along with Marlon Brown. I think he'll definitely have a role. They're going to really get a lot of guys involved. And then you have Campanero, who is out. They have a nice rotation of wide receivers that they'll be working with. But more importantly for Butler, he's one of those guys that could play the X, the Z, and the slot position for them. So that in itself will help him a lot.
And, of course, Jeremy Butler, entering his second year, was an undrafted rookie out of University of Tennessee, Martin. So definitely looking forward to see what he can do for the Ravens this year. Looking at some of the other talent that this team has brought in through the draft, I mentioned, we just talked about Breshad Perriman, wide receiver out of UCF. They also arguably got the best tight end in the draft, Max Williams in the second round, defensive end Za'Darius Smith, and a defensive back that I like quite a lot in Trey Walker. Overall, how do you feel about the Ravens 2015 NFL draft class, and how many of these guys do you think can have an impact on the team in year one?
I think the Ravens draft class was definitely a hit. I mean, you look, as we mentioned, Perriman, and you come back and you get Max Williams, who I think is going to fit into that offense really well, especially in 12 personnel sets. And they like to flex him out wide. So they'll use him and Crockett Gilmore. And when they use the three tight ends that you got, Nick Boyle, another guy that got a little bit later, who was really showing himself on the receiving side of things in the OTA. So that's definitely a good couple picks at the tight end position, a position that they needed. And then you look, as you mentioned, Trey Walker. Trey Walker is really one of those height, weight, speed guys. He moves very well at 6'2", 193. The longest arms out of every DB in the draft class. So he's somebody that definitely passes that measurables test. Like I said, he moves really well. The one that I really has stood out the most to me is Za'Darius Smith. And once again, the Ravens drafted guys to fill positions of guys who left. Pernell McPhee left. Coincidentally, Za'Darius Smith wears number 90 now, just like Pernell McPhee, and is playing all over. He's played three-tech, five-tech, rush the passer from both sides. So he's going to be the guy to kind of replace Pernell McPhee. And his get-off, man, Chris, he really gets off the ball very fast. Now, of course, they're in shorts and T-shirts, so take it for what it's worth. But what I've seen firsthand is this guy has a really good explosive first step. Carl Davis is another one out of Iowa, that third-round pick. I mean, this guy could play all three positions also. Obviously, they lost Lokinata. Get a big body like him to put in there. So they did really well in this draft, to be honest with you. And then not to mention that they got a couple undrafted free agents in DeAndre Carter, who has really impressed also. Steve Smith has said that he's going to be the rookie free agent that makes the roster. And Cam Worthy has played well also. So that draft class, the talent that they brought into that building, it's very impressive, and I think it fills some holes that were left in guys when they left via free agents.
And no surprise to hear that. It seems like the Ravens, the Ravens front office, I mean, they always do a great job at bringing in a very solid, a really nice rookie class. Year after year, they always do it. They're always one of the top organizations. So no surprise to hear that. Now, I couldn't help but notice when you mentioned the tight ends, it's a very young group of tight ends that you mentioned. I mean, last year they drafted Crockett Gilmore. This year, Max Williams and Nick Boyle. Do you have an update on Dennis Pitta?
Yes. Dennis Pitta, he's moving around really well. Before practice, he goes through the drills, running the routes with the cones and things like that. He's taking part in some of the individual drills, but once they get the team 7-on-7 and all that, he's not practicing. It's really a crapshoot. It's going to really be about Pitta's ability to come back and be comfortable coming back. The Ravens aren't rushing him, and they're prepared to move on if they have to, but the Ravens are one of those teams that, they're player first. So they're going to make sure that decision is going to be up to Dennis Pitta and his doctors. If they say that he's able to come back, they'll definitely welcome back with open arms. And after all, that's one of Flacco's favorite targets over the last couple of years. So I think that if he wants to come back and everything clears medically, they'll definitely have him back. I don't think that he'll be back anytime soon. You know, he's one of those guys that I think they'll put on that IR with a later designated return, but definitely not to start training camp that season.
And, of course, he suffered that hip injury last year. And like you said, I mean, they have some nice depth at tight end right now with those three young guys. So moving on to the defensive side of the ball, Teron, I mean, tell us about second-year linebacker C.J. Mosley. I mean, how good can this guy be? And do you think he'll always be compared to Ray Lewis?
He's going to always have that comparison just because of the position. But, frankly, he's not Ray Lewis. We know that. As far as how good can he could be one of the best in the league. And that's just because of his speed, but most importantly, his anticipation. He's able to see plays develop before they do. And if you watch Ravens games, most of the time he's the first one to the ball because he knows where the play is going. And that's a result, like I said, anticipation, but film study. And it's no secret that the Ravens are a team who they have linebackers that take part in film study and really excel in it. There's a lineup, you know, from Ray Lewis to C.J. Mosley. So that's something that I think will really continue to help him as a second-year player. He has been injured. He has the soft cast on his wrist now, and that's something that they'll hope will be in order once training camp starts. But Mosley is a complete package, and you look at what he did last year. I think it was 3 sacks, you know, a couple of interceptions. I mean, the guy definitely is somebody that's going to be the anchor of that linebacking core and for years to come.
Absolutely. And, of course, he made the Pro Bowl his first year. It was just so fun to watch on that Baltimore Ravens defense. It looked like they didn't miss a step there at linebacker. But like you said, he's no Ray Lewis, no Ray Lewis as of yet. So we'll definitely see. But definitely a fun young linebacker to watch there on that Ravens defense. Now, I believe it was the first day of the new league year. The Ravens traded Haloti Ngata to the Detroit Lions. Who's expected to fill that role on the defensive line?
Yeah, that's a good question. They were able to bump Ngata to 3-sec once Brandon Williams became the starter. And he, along with Timmy Jernigan, are going to fill that role. Jernigan, as you know, out of Florida State last year, you know, that's a guy that he could play. You know, he's very physical. He's fast off the ball. He could get at the passer when he needs to. He's going to be the primary one, just position for position. But you combine that with Brandon Williams, this will be his third year. Brandon Williams is a guy who last year, he didn't have the high sack numbers, but you try running the ball in those interior gaps, and he's going to be involved in some way. I mean, he's a classic two-gapper. He's somebody that will definitely help. So those two, and then obviously you have Chris Candy coming back, and as I mentioned, Carl Davis. Carl Davis is, like I said, playing up and down the line of scrimmage. So he plays all three positions in that 3-4 defense. So they'll mix him in also. So it's going to be a committee. But primarily you're looking at Brandon Williams and Timmy Jernigan.
All right, sounds good. Some may be familiar with Timmy Jernigan, the Ravens' second-round pick last year, like you said, out of Florida State. But Brandon Williams, it sounds like he'll be trying to make people take some notice about who exactly he is this year, as he's kind of unknown around the NFL, at least with most fans. Once again, Tron Davenport of the Baltimore Times joining the show. And, Tron, just a couple more questions for you. I appreciate your time. Now, rookie minicamp and OTAs have come and gone, and later on this afternoon we have the first mandatory minicamp session. From what you've seen, I mean, how's the team looking, and is there anybody that has surprised you at all? I mean, any late-round picks, any undrafted rookies turning heads out there? I know you mentioned a wide receiver out of Sacramento State, undrafted DeAndre Carter.
Yeah, Cam Worthy looks pretty good, but I think, now, as I say, I mean, shorts and T-shirts, so
right.
You can't put too much stock in what you're watching. But I really have been impressed with how well Nick Boyle has caught the football. He is a natural catcher, and he moves pretty well for a guy that's 6'4", 270 pounds. And I think really once the pass going, you're really going to see him, because he's one of those guys that does no more for being a blocker and just being involved in the run game. But I think the Ravens have gotten a pleasant surprise in OTAs and this passing camp. from Nick Boyle for sure.
And I believe he was a sixth-round pick out of Delaware, so that sounds good, sounds good. And like you said, I mean, I personally know him as a blocker, and to hear that he's, you know, making noise in the receiving game, that's definitely interesting to hear right there. Now, final question, Teron. This team, like I mentioned opening this segment, this team went 10-6 last year. At one point, it looked like they were going to advance to the AFC Championship game, but they fell short to the Patriots, 35-31, in the divisional round of the playoffs. What are your expectations for the 2015 Baltimore Ravens? I know it's hard to say, but if you had to give it a prediction, I mean, what would it be?
Well, given their coaching staff, and in addition to that, the strength of the roster, I mean, I definitely would expect them to make a deep run in the playoffs, that's for sure. And I would say challenge for the division, as they do every year. You look at the Bengals, they've gotten better, and some of the defensive guys they got. The Browns are the Browns, and the Steelers, you know, you have some guys that aren't on the team anymore. So we'll see how that division falls out, but I think they should be the early favorite to win the AFC North and definitely make noise in the playoffs.
And, of course, on paper, I mean, they're certainly looking like one of the top teams in the AFC. That's all I have for you, Teron. I really do appreciate your time. Before I let you go, can you tell us where we can find your work?
Yeah, definitely. I'm on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL, and you can find me at footballgameplan.com. You could also find my Ravens work at BaltimoreTimesOnline.com. So check all those spots out, and I love to talk shop, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, sounds great. Thanks again, Teron. Keep up the great work, and we'll have to do this again down the line, all right?
All right, no doubt. Thanks a lot.
Hey, take care.
All right, you too.
Some great insight from Teron Davenport. Be sure to give him a follow on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL and check out his work at BaltimoreTimes-Online.com and FootballGamePlan.com. It sounds as if we shouldn't expect too much change to this offense under Trestman. And as I said at the end of the conversation with Teron, the Ravens certainly have a ton of talent on the roster. After losing Torrey Smith to the Niners in free agency, they draft wide receiver Brashad Perriman to kind of replace him. And Teron said that they may have reached just a little for Perriman. He had a second-round grade on the wide receiver, but it sounds as if they had to address the position at some point in the draft, and you got to wonder if any of these young guys are going to step up in the next year or two to become a number one or number two wide receiver to play opposite of Perriman once Steve Smith Sr. retires. Teron stated that Smith does not want to play up until his 40s, and he wouldn't be too surprised if this is his last year in the league or when his contract is up with the Ravens after next season. Who knows? Maybe my next guest will be Steve Smith's successor there in Baltimore. Here's my interview with Baltimore Ravens second-year wide receiver Jeremy Butler. Welcome back to the CS Podcast presented by the NFL Draft Bible and NUCSports.com. New work published to the website every day, so again, check out the website, NUCSports.com. As always, I'm your host, Chris Schanefeld, and it's a pleasure to welcome onto the show Baltimore Ravens second-year wide receiver by way of the University of Tennessee Martin. He's Jeremy Butler. I appreciate you taking some time today, Jeremy. How's everything going in Baltimore?
It's going good. Appreciate you for having me on.
Hey, the pleasure's all mine. I remember talking to you. Actually, the last time we spoke was your pre-draft interview last year, so it's definitely a pleasure to catch up with the Baltimore Ravens wide receiver. I'm sure it doesn't get old hearing that just yet. But for those who aren't too familiar with your journey, Jeremy, you began your college football career at the JUCO level at the College of Sequoias, and then you transferred to the D1 AA school of the University of Tennessee Martin in the FCS, Ohio Valley Conference. And then you had a monster senior year. You reeled in 90 receptions for over 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. You really solidified yourself as one of the top small school wide receivers in last year's 2014 NFL draft. You then had the opportunity to play in the Medal of Honor Bowl. You went on to open up a lot of eyes at the Vanderbilt Pro Day. Fast forwarding to draft weekend, you didn't hear your name called, but eventually you received a phone call from the Baltimore Ravens in which you ultimately signed as an undrafted free agent. Can you just take us through the process of becoming a Raven? I mean, were they a team that showed interest in you throughout the entire process? Were there any other teams interested in you? And ultimately, how did you become a Baltimore Raven?
Throughout the whole process, I had to go visit to the Green Bay Packers and I think the Ravens. I actually met with them like, the first time I had met with in person in my school as far as the pre-draft process or, like I said, evaluation process. So I met with him, like, going into that spring of my senior year, and we had talking. So I said that was, so that was about everything. So they definitely had interest for a long time. He was the first team to kind of show interest. And throughout that process, I got real close with the Packers. They was talking to me and communicating real heavy. And the Dolphins, Steelers, and the Cardinals, they all called me. Actually during the draft, and was talking to me about as far as decisions and like the planning process, about what might go down. And then I said, ultimately, my name didn't get called, but I kind of knew it. And I kind of had it in my mind, like Baltimore Ravens, like, it was that fit for me. I said, even though the Packers, like, I think they offered me a bigger a free agent deal, like signing bonus, but you know, for me, it wasn't about the money, it was mostly about the best situation, the best opportunity for myself and my career.
And of course, you're still a Baltimore Raven, so it looks like you made the right decision. Talk about last season, though. I mean, you opened up some eyes in training camp and made some plays in preseason, but unfortunately, a shoulder injury forced the Ravens to place around their season-ending IR once the final cuts came around. And so you spent the entire last year on the IR. I mean, how exactly would you describe your rookie year in the NFL, having to sit out the entire regular season?
I tell you all the time, it's a blessing in disguise. That's it. The only thing as a player and as a person you can do is control the things that you can control, and everything else, you know, if it, like in my life, I just leave it up to God, and everything happens for a reason. Once that, like, the things that you can't control, everything happens for a reason, and you know, you just play the cards that you built, and I think it worked out in a great way. Of course, as a competitor, I would love to play and compete last year. Like I said, but in the same sense, you know, like I said, learning and like. Get a chance to develop and get even better, and actually, make a joke about like trying to ride a bike with training wheels into the NFL as far as that year. I getting to be in the meeting, kind of seeing how everything go and seeing like learning and growing as a pro and as a person, and kind of like seeing how game plans get developed, seeing how you know I got to sick everybody, like seeing how I just had to be a pro, you know, without that pressure actually performing yet. So like I said, kind of like easing into the process. Like I said, it definitely helped me. Mentally and physically, like I said, I'm a whole new player, I feel like, in my eyes. And I definitely feel like I got better mentally from it. And that's, like I said, mentally is the biggest game, you know, you can make in today's game as far as I feel.
Right on. I like it. It's kind of like riding a bike on training wheels. I definitely like that comparison. Now, although you weren't able to participate in any of the practices last year once you were placed on the IR, you were still able to be around the facility and be in the meeting rooms. What were some of the things you were able to take away from, of course, Steve Smith, Torrey Smith, last year, just being in their presence?
I just paid attention to detail as far as, like I said, studying film on your opponents and I said, finding the things that kind of like that can help, like I said, implement your game as far as it give you more opportunities for success. And just like note taking and preparation, like that's the big thing I took from everybody is preparation. You know, like I said, we're at the top level, so we all can play football naturally. We all have the gifts and talents. There's a preparation and that, you know, that pans into small things and details. Because, like I said, small things add up to big things. So, in the grand scheme of things, that was the biggest thing I learned as far as preparing myself.
Baltimore Ravens wide receiver Jeremy Butler joining the CS podcast presented by NFL Draft Bible and NUCSports.com. And, Jeremy, although you guys lost Torrey Smith to the 49ers in free agency, you guys still have a ton of depth at wide receiver with yourself, Steve Smith, first-round pick, Rashad Perriman, Marlon Brown, Michael Campanaro, Darren Waller, who was a sixth- or seventh-round pick, and an undrafted rookie that I really like in DeAndre Carter. How do you feel about the competition this team has to offer at wide receiver, and what will you have to do in order to secure a spot on the active roster this year?
Competition always kind of sorts stuff out. Like I said, once again, you do your best and you control the game. So like I said, competition, that's something I always kind of thrive at. Like I said, love, that's what makes football. Like I said, competing against guys. But in the same sense, you know, still having love and still having being have fun and like being there for your teammates in that way. But like I said, as far as competing-wise, like I said, I never really worried about that. Like I said, all I can do is do what I can do. And I've always been super confident in, you know, my ability and my gifts and what I bring to the table. It's just a matter of, you know, like I said, seeing how things play out and, you know, like I said, controlling what you can control and taking each day on their time.
Well, I know that mandatory minicamp begins tomorrow. I got to think you're pretty excited for that. How were OTAs, though? I mean, after spending your entire rookie season on IR, how did it feel to get back to practice with the team?
It was fun. Like I said, it was real fun. I said, I it's kind of like getting out of the cage. Like I said, once I got the guy that I was jumping around, moving around, playing around. I said, I love the game, but I said, you know, you never realize how much you love it. Like, I appreciate something that's just taken away. Not necessarily taken away, but like I said, you kind of took it out of the context from it as far as, like, being away from the game. I said, but like I said, I appreciate that much more now, like I said, because I'm, like, I kind of been deprived of it. Now I, like, take full throttle and just hand it back to you. So I'm out there full speed, having fun, like I said, enjoying every moment of practice.
And that was probably the longest you've been away from the game, probably ever since you started. I don't really think you've really had a major injury that kind of derailed an entire season. So I got to think it's great to be back. It's definitely great to hear that you're back and participating in the practices. Now, Jeremy, I know that you have some big expectations for yourself this season. I got to think that you expect to have an impact on this offense in some type of way, offense, special teams. But what was going through your mind when you seen that the team selected a wide receiver in the first round? I mean, obviously they felt like that was a position that they had to add more depth to.
I mean, like I said, I'm as far as being in the game myself, like I said, as a player and a competitor, like I said, I mean, a lot of times fans forget, like I said, we also are fans of the game. So, I mean, like I said, just understanding football and loving football in general, like I said, I'm still, like, as far as the move, like I said, you need speed on the outside, like in today's game. And like I said, losing Torrey, that definitely took, like, a lot of speed away from my room. And even Jacoby, like I said, yeah, adding that back, like I said, with Rashad, so I think he brings that element to the room that takes the top off the defensive ability. So I mean, it definitely makes sense, and I understand that. But as far as, like I said, how I felt about it, like I said, it was a great move. I guess it was a great move for our team and for our offense.
Jeremy Butler, second-year wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, joining the show. And, Jeremy, every time I read an article about you, there's always quotes from head coach John Harbaugh. And in those quotes, he always seems to speak pretty highly of you. What's your relationship like with Coach Harbaugh?
It's a cool guy. Like I said, he's a real player coach, like I said. I love having him as a coach. Like I said, being able to talk to him, joke with him. Like I said, he come up to you. Like I said, the one thing that really stands out at the bottom to me is that not in just me, my case, but like I said, he actually – has, like, a working relationship with each one of his players, not someone in a sense as just the head coach, know the main guys, and keep moving. Like I said, he actually has a relationship with every guy, down from Joe Flacco all the way to the guys that, you know, most of the guys probably don't know. Like I said, he speaks and has a relationship with everybody, where he kind of, like, talk to you, have fun, joke with you all throughout practice. So, like I said, I definitely love having him as a coach, and I appreciate that relationship.
And it definitely seems like a great team coach. You know, like you said, he focuses on all 53 men on the roster, even the practice squad guys. Definitely seems like a great coach. And there's no doubt that he's one of the top head coaches in the NFL. And you know, my next question for you, just a couple more, and then I'll let you go, Jeremy. As always, your time is really appreciated. Any personal or team expectations for this season? I mean, anything you'd like to share for us? I mean, what should we expect from number 17 and the Baltimore Ravens in 2015?
As a team, I think, like I said, definitely the goal is always the championship and the Super Bowl. But like I said, the thing is, I think, just, you know, getting better, you know, meshing as a team and growing each day, one game at a time. Like I said, you know, you can't go 16-0 without going 1-0 first. So, like I said, well, I think that's just our main approach this year. I think we have a great season this year. We got a great team, and like I said, we got some great working parts. And like I said, Trestman, I think our offense, you know, actually had an opportunity to be better. And like I said, that's saying a lot considering what we did last year on offense side of the ball. Like I said, for me, like I said, you know, just bringing in my ability, like I said, and adding it to the equation and contributing what I can, like I said, being the best player I can be.
It's funny that you mentioned Mark Trestman. He was the head coach for the Chicago Bears over the last 2 years. And that's actually next on my question list right here, right in front of me, Jeremy. What is the biggest difference between this new offense that Trestman is inputting to the past offense from last year?
Like I said, it's kind of different and, like, different. Like, it's hard to explain because, like I said, in small parts it's similar, in small parts it's different, like I said. But I can't always want to give away our offensive scheme. Like I said, we definitely got some great things. And, like I said, teams, we definitely going to bring the team this year.
Hey, sounds great. Sounds great. Well, Jeremy, that's all I have for you, man. Thank you for taking some time today. Yeah, it was definitely great catching up with you. We'll have to do this again, and I'm really looking forward to watching you have a healthy and successful year two in the NFL.
Appreciate that, man.
There he goes, Jeremy Butler, entering his second year in the National Football League with the Baltimore Ravens. Spent all of last season on IR after having an excellent showing in minicamp, training camp, and preseason. But it sounds as if he expects to be on the active roster this year, and even Teron Davenport expects the same. Of course, Butler knows that there's a ton of competition, at that wide receiver spot, though, and he's definitely going to have to earn that spot. Wishing Jeremy Butler all the best. Anyways, I'll do it for this episode of the CS Podcast. Special thanks to Teron Davenport from the Baltimore Times and Ravens wide receiver Jeremy Butler for joining the program. Go ahead and follow them on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL and @Butler_J. While you're at it, go ahead and follow me on Twitter as well, @ChrisShanafelt. Be sure to follow @NFLDraftBible and @NUCFootball as well. As always, this show is presented by NFL Draft Bible and NUC Sports. Check out the NUC Sports magazine at NUCSports.com. New content every day. Anyways, hope you all enjoyed this show, and until next time, take care.